This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Sitting next to us. And is it because it's his birthday? Happy birthday, Stephen A. Russell.
Nothing like getting, a national radio call out for your birthday. I feel spoiled. I also have literally just run from the Jam Factory to be here to talk about being in the movies.
Right. Good effort.
Of course, you would have been at the Queer Film Festival.
Yeah, so I've been seeing loads of films there, and we've got a couple of major releases as well, so there's so much to see out there right now.
Brilliant. And is this your first time in the studio? Have you been, been here once before, haven't you?
I made it once before.
Right, before we went into lockdown.
I think just before lockdown 792. I can't remember which one specifically, but one of the lockdowns.
We have aged a lot since then. I don't know which birthday you're up to. But
well,
I
apparently,
feel like...
I was at a friend's cafe today and they brought me out a little cake with a 70 candle on it. So I think I'm looking rather good for 70.
I think you are.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk films. Where do you want to go? You know, like, do you want to talk about the film you just seen, or?
Yeah, let's do that. Actually, okay. So I literally just saw one of the first queer films from Namibia. It's called Kapana. And it was just, do you remember a few years ago they had a film called Rafiki?
Yeah.
And it was one of the first lesbian films out of Africa. And this is about two gay guys, and it's a really short film, about an hour long. It deals with big issues like being in the closet, HIV positive, talks about PrEP, but it does all of these things in such a light-hearted and open-spirited and really funny way.
Oh, okay. And I thought it would have been a bit heavy the way you were building it up.
No, it's just the way it's presented. It uses music. It really gets into food. It just kind of really absolutely thrives. It's such a beautiful, alive and joyous film.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So that's Kapana.
Okay.
At the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
And is it being shown again, or is it
I
the one?
So.
Right, okay.
And it also actually, and I've forgotten the name, but it also screened with a Melbourne short that was partly filmed on the Mornington Peninsula.
Oh, wow.
And it was about a young... Melbourne filmmaker talking about coming out to his Somali father. And it was a real beautiful, emotional film as well. Wow. So I felt really spoiled today.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Okay. What next? Are you going to stay with the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, or are you going to move on?
Yeah, I think we will. Opening night film, Flea, is coming out later on.
Coming out later on?
Well, I don't know if it's being released by Madman.
Right.
In cinemas. So
in a general release,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if that's happening this year or next.
Okay.
But my goodness, guys, I adored this one. So it's essentially, I'm going to get this wrong actually, but it's a Scandinavian filmmaker. I'm not exactly sure which country. But he...
Hey, you can openly say that in your cover. So you're like, even...
that gets me a little grab bag. Like, it's one of those.
One of those.
So basically, he got talking to his childhood friend, who is an Afghan. You know, he came as an Afghan refugee, and he'd never really opened up about his life. And so eventually, they kind of decided to sort of sit down together and do it on camera. And so this is a documentary that presents the incredible journey of, you know, leaving Kabul, I think back when the Russian forces came in. And, I'm talking rubbish because it's quite recent. But, you know, obviously it's an area that has undergone a whole heap of, you know, absolute tragedy in recent years.
Yeah.
So it tells of his family leaving there, him, you know, coming via Russia, but obviously him being a closeted man, and you kind of go from one place where it's not okay to, Russia, where we've seen obviously increasingly in recent years things getting worse again.
Yeah, shocking.
But what makes this film absolutely unforgettable is that rather than it being a straight up documentary, he wanted to preserve his anonymity. So they've animated this whole film is animated. But in a really beautifully rotoscoped way, which is when they use real footage and then draw the animation on top of
it.
And, oh my goodness, it just makes an already quite remarkable film even more special.
Right.
And it also sort of weaves in lots of archival imagery with it. Incredible. The film's called Flea. I'm giving it 5 stars.
Whoa.
Great. Yeah. That's a big call.
Is that a birthday special?
Well, no, do you know what? This really is a spectacular film that deserves it.
Right.
And yesterday I saw Moffy, which is a South African film looking at the apartheid period and how difficult it would be to kind of, on one hand, be a gay man in the army, but also it does really address, you know, apartheid going on as well. That was so powerful and one of the most beautiful looking films as well. Wow. I couldn't believe it.
When did it become legal to be gay in South Africa? Were they forward thinking or were they after us? Or
I think it would be, I don't want to get the dates completely wrong, but I think it was slightly, I think around the 70s is when it was decriminalised.
Right, yep, yep.
But again, you know, we all know that these things are not quite just a date. You know, there's a whole societal change has to follow on from that.
Oh, and especially South Africa, because, well, if it's 70s, it would have been pretty horrible time there anyway.
Exactly. So don't quote me on the date when it was decriminalised, because it might
be
the 90s.
Was it 1973 at 5 o'clock in the morning?
I think you'll find it was 32 seconds past.
Okay.
But anyway.
Right. Nothing but facts on this show.
Clearly, I'm just spewing them out. Some Scandinavian country. I don't know.
Yeah, citation needed.
did I mention that I came here straight on the way in an Uber? I thought I'd have a bit more prep time, but anyway.
And what about general releases? Anything happening there?
Okay, you're as ever. I just know that you're not going to hold me to account. It's bad. It's not that. It's not that I'm directing it purely to David, but I know that David will not love this film. So it's quite comic.
Okay. I know what it is.
Okay, so this is one of the most spectacular films of the year. I've been waiting for it all year long. I've tried to see it at so many film festivals that it did not happen for various lockdowns, and this is Titan. Or Titan, I think, actually. It's a French horror film.
Right.
I know that's not your favourite genre, but...
Well, I'd watch that over, you know, like, the Marvels and whatever, so,
well,
yes.
It's what it is. Like, so Julia de Curnow brought her first horror film a few years back, Raw. And on the surface, it seems like a horror film, but what it was about a vegan who went to university. She obviously, you know, it's a coming of age story about how, you know, she embraces that life, but someone hazes her and forces her to eat meat and she becomes a cannibal. So it's a cannibal movie, but it's also a coming of age and a sexuality.
Coming
emerging.
Of age as well. Right.
I know.
I like it.
So, well, you should watch it. It's amazing. This is her follow up, okay, to Tan. Very similar idea. It looks at a young, troubled woman who is an exotic dancer who also has an erotic fascination for cars and also has a bit of a side hustle in killing people.
She's just a regular girl.
You know, and it's honestly, someone said to me, if you watch the first half hour of this film, you're either going to absolutely love it or you're going to walk out. It's one of those.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be divisive.
Yeah.
But where it goes from that half hour, you would never predict. It becomes the strange amalgamation of body horror and something really incredibly tender that explores a non-binary view of gender. And it's a film that constantly, every time you think you've got a handle on it, it pulls the rug out again. Agathe Roussel's lead role is spectacular. One of the classic French actors, Vincent Landon, is... I mean, I can't even tell you about his role because it's too trippy to talk about it, but he is an actor that a lot of people, if they've ever watched French cinema, would recognise. They would never recognise him in this role. It's just, it's honestly, it's one of the most exhilaratingly David, I'm going to steal from you, right? It's like, you can watch a perfectly manicured Marvel film and you'll know exactly what you're getting, right? I would much rather watch, even as a fan of superhero films, I would much rather watch an absolutely crazy film that shoots for the stars. And maybe you won't love it, but you'll never walk away bored. You'll never walk away thinking you've seen it before.
But I would watch that. You know, it sounds interesting. What's it called again?
It's called Titane.
Titane.
And how many five stars? Five stars as well. I'm birthday mad. I haven't even had a champagne yet, and I'm just throwing the vibes.
Five-star day.
What else is happening?
Do you know what? I can't believe how many we've got through already, even with me like gasping for breath.
Well, that's because we've changed it a little bit at the beginning. We don't play a song at the beginning, so we give you more time.
Yep. And it's just lovely being back in with you lovely human beings in a real room.
It's super lovely. We can all breathe heavy in here. Sweat.
I'll do the number to call at the end of it if you want some fun time.
The good thing is that the studios are quite large and we're a fair way away from each other.
I think we are. Like, you know, we've got distancing anyway. But look, okay, I'm going to squish in one more.
Sure.
Because very quickly, Titane. Julia de Curnow is only the second woman in all history to take home the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival for it. She took home the Palme d'Or. Wow. We're now going to go to another incredible female filmmaker who has also won a Palme d'Or, Jane Campion. So, you know, we have a great tradition.
I almost guessed that you were going to do that.
100%. And also, you know, because she's a Kiwi, she's an Australian. That's just how things go in this country, you know. If they do something bad, nope.
But I can't believe who's in this film. It's pretty impressive.
Now, David, The Power of the Dog, it's her latest film. You know, she does not pump them out. I think it's been 9 years since she has done Top of the Lake on television since then.
Right.
It was in a limited run in cinemas. I'm not sure if that's finished or not. But if it has, if you can't get to see it in Melbourne or elsewhere in Australia, it's on Netflix, I think.
Ah, is it?
From... again, citation needed. Very soon it's on Netflix.
Right, okay.
And
hey, how do you feel about that, Stephen, with them going so quickly onto the streaming? You know, is that killing off the cinema?
I really don't think so. I think that there is resistance to it, particularly from cinemas. But I also really think people understand the joy of the giant screen, the sound that you can never recreate at home, not being on your phone fiddling, you know, half attention. I think if you really love film, you quite happily go and see it on the big screen and then just watch it again on Netflix you love the film. That's how I'm going to go, think. But look, this is spectacular. It's a adaptation of a 1960s American novel by Thomas Savage. I got that citation, thank goodness. And it's
who's in it?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I love him.
He's a real bad.
Oh, is he?
Starred in this film. He is just a real mean.
Oh, because
nasty
he normally
man.
Doesn't play that.
I know.
He usually plays somebody kooky.
I know.
Wow. Cool.
And so basically, his brother Jesse Plemons, who I think was in. Oh, God, he's done a few really great American comedies recently. He plays the nice brother. They live in, you know, back of nowhere in kind of frontier times, America, Western.
Oh, so it was made in New Zealand, though.
It was, and it totally looks like New Zealand. And I love that, you know, it's definitely not America. It's very clearly New Zealand, but it also is beautiful. And so that's fine.
But it's supposed to be in America.
Yeah. So, and they're two brothers. And even though Benedict's the bad brother, he's very possessive of his other brother, Jesse. And what happens is Jesse gets married to a kind of struggling pub landlady, played by Kirsten Dunst, also brilliant. Mm. But the real star of the show is Cody Smith McPhee, who plays her son, who's very obviously, you know, he's not a stereotypically masculine boy, and he's not ashamed of the fact that he is quite camp, right? And so they're brought into the family home, and it just sets off this incredible chain reaction of dynamics of how the the nasty brother is going to put up with this young, effeminate boy. But how those dynamics play out without spoiling anything is not what you would expect. So again, this is a film that is constantly taut and tense, and you can never quite guess how it's going to work out. And when the finale comes, your jaw will be on the floor.
Oh, wow.
And I have clearly gone drunk with the sun, because I'm giving 5 stars to this as well. Whoa. It's a triple whammy.
It's because it's your birthday.
You've got full of love.
You're being full generous. Of love. It's great.
Yeah. I know. And I've only got caffeine in me. Let's see how it degrades from here.
The day is young.
Are you doing something special tonight?
Well, I'm going back to see another film at the Queer Film Festival, and then we might go to a beer garden for dinner afterwards. And then who knows what will happen.
I did that for my birthday on Friday.
Excellent. Oh, wow.
It was great.
I love it. Are you also 70?
I feel much older than that. Okay. So thank you.
We're both looking great for it.
Yeah, we sure are.
Stephen A. Russell, thank you so much for coming, rushing back here and now going off to see another film.
Yeah,
no way. Yeah, because it's Melbourne Queer Film Festival, and we'll be speaking to Spiro at the end of the show today about what's happening second week.
I love bookending a show with Spiro.
Yeah. Yes. I think that happened one other time, didn't it? Yeah, now I've thought about it.
Yeah. A bit of a tag team in, you know.
All right. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Stephen.
And happy birthday.
Yes, we have been talking to birthday boy and film expert and 5-star guy, Stephen A. Russell. And you are listening to the Joy Sunday Arts Magazine. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.